Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Brianna Wegner, and I am currently working on my master's at South Dakota State University, and today I will be discussing some of the impacts that residue removal has on soil quality in a corn-soybean rotation that is also seeded with cover crops. And then I'd also like to thank my co-authors listed there, Sandy Pumar, Shannon Osborne, Michael Lehman, Ibrahim Bahala, and Thomas Shoemaker for their assistance and hard work on this project. So a brief outline of my presentation. I will tell you why this is kind of important, go over the objective of our project, outline some of our materials and methods, discuss our results, and then summarize with some conclusions. So in the Midwest, crop residues are often harvested or removed from the soil for other purposes, more traditionally for things that have to do with livestock, either for bedding or an alternative food source. And more recently, these crop residues have been harvested for biofuel purposes like cellulosic ethanol and things like that. And there have been numerous studies that have been conducted that show that removing these crop residues can degrade your soils and have negative impacts, such as lowering your soil organic carbon and reducing that soil aggregate stability. So the objective of our project here was to assess some of the impacts that removing this crop residue, namely the corn stover from our corn rotation, and what that effect would have on soil quality parameters in a no-till system for our corn-soybean rotation that has also cover crops. So this is our experimental site. It's located at the USDA ARS lab, the North Central Agricultural Research Laboratory, just north of Brookings, South Dakota. And as you can see on that far picture there where the red boxes are, those were our research plots. And so we had six of them, and that meant that we had three reps for our trials, and that each crop phase could be represented each year for this project. And so we could have both corn and soybean reactions for the different soil quality parameters that we analyzed. So the way that we had this set up is we had three different residue removal treatments. The high residue removal treatment consisted of harvesting the entire plant above approximately 10 centimeters above the soil surface. And this represents if a grower or a farmer were to harvest the entire plant for something like corn silage. Our medium residue removal rate consisted of the harvest of the corn grain, and then that leftover stover was baled and removed from the soil surface. So this would simulate the farmer taking away that stover to use for livestock purposes or to be sold for biofuel purposes as well. And then our low residue removal treatment consisted of harvesting only the grain from the corn phase and then leaving all other plant residue on the soil surface. We then, and this was established in 2000, and so we had this going, and then in 2005 we decided to incorporate a cover crop treatment to see if this may help mitigate some of those negative effects we were seeing with the residue removal. So when we had soybeans, afterwards we went in and planted a cover crop of lentils, and then after the corn phase we went and planted a slender wheatgrass. And so this started out as a randomized block design, and then when we added the cover crops, it turned into a randomized split block design, and then the breakdown there, you can see residue removal was the whole plot design, and then the split plots came in when we added the cover crops. For sake of time, I can't go into all of the soil quality parameters that we looked at, but these were some of the ones we felt showed our conclusions the best. So we used fluorescein diacetate hydrolysis, which gave us an overall measure of microbial activity in our soils. And we used that the chloroform method to determine that. Our soil organic carbon and soil organic matter were both determined by loss on ignition methods. Our water-stable aggregates, we conducted this test on the sizes that were less than the 2-millimeter sieve, so pretty small. And then we also did water retention tests using a tension table and the ceramic plate method, pretty traditional methods here for our lab analysis. So if we go ahead and look at our results, we can see in our soybean phase, which would be 9 months after corn stover, the plant residue is allowed to remain on the surface, we can see that our low residue removal treatment rate has significantly higher microbial activity when compared with other removal rates. If we look in our cover crop treatment, we're not seeing much of a significant difference there. It hasn't been enough time for us to see any significant difference. But we can see that when we let residue remain on the soil surface, our microbial populations are higher. So if we go and we look at our next growing season, so 21 months after the residue is allowed to remain on the surface during that corn phase, there isn't much of a significant impact here. That organic matter has either been broken down or it wasn't there to begin with to be broken down, so our numbers aren't significantly different. However, we are starting to see, if you notice that value for 2010 for the cover crops, that the cover crops are starting to come in and have an impact on our microbial populations in the soil. If we go ahead and we look at our soil organic carbon, this would be for our top depth here. In our soybean, you can noticeably tell that the values are significantly different for each treatment, or more specifically the low residue removal versus high residue removal treatment. So this isn't all that surprising. The more organic matter you leave, the more soil organic carbon you're going to generate. And then also interesting enough to note is that still, the next growing season, we're seeing a significant difference, a significant impact on that soil organic carbon. So as compared to directly after that residue is allowed to stay on the surface. And then if we compare for our cover crops, it's no surprise that we haven't started to see much of an impact there in regards to soil organic carbon as well. There's no significant difference except for perhaps 2009 during the soybean phase, and we believe that perhaps the weather could have allowed more organic carbon to have been stored in the soil during that month or that year as opposed to the other years. And then for our deeper depths, we also can see that there's no particular trend as of yet, but we're starting to see that maybe as we leave that residue there on the soil surface, that it's starting to stick around and move deeper into the soil profile. If you can note in that soybean phase, so 9 months after 2011, we see a significant difference. And then also again in 2009, there's also a significant difference. And then as we look later on during that 21 months after, we also see that as time goes on, there's more and more soil organic carbon moving deeper into our soil. And then, again, we're not seeing much of a response from our cover crops treatment again. We also looked at the water-stable aggregates, and you can see here the low residue removal treatment proved to have more stable aggregates than the medium or the high residue removal. This can go back to we had higher microbial populations, we had more soil organic matter on that surface. There's more food for those microorganisms so they can produce more binding agents and help bind those aggregates together so we have better, stronger aggregates, especially in this 9-month period after the residue is allowed to remain on the surface. But if we go ahead that 21 months later during that corn phase, there isn't much difference in that for that 2008-2009 year. However, we are starting to see more of an impact in 2010. Those numbers are starting to become significantly different, and that low residue removal treatment is significantly higher than the other two treatments. And so I've been talking about soil organic matter, and now you can actually see the chart here, but we are seeing a significant difference between our residue removal treatments. That's not surprising or earth-shattering news. You know, the more residue you allow to stay on the surface, the more organic matter you're going to accumulate. And so this chart just kind of proves our point as we measured that. And then in terms of cover crops and cover crop treatment, as of right now, when this data was collected, the cover crops weren't really contributing to that soil organic matter, and our numbers are not significantly different. And so we also looked at the water retention, and as you can see, that top set of charts will be that soybean phase, so 9 months after residue has been left on the surface, and our treatments, the residue treatments will be on your guys' left, and the cover crop treatments on the right. We're not really seeing much of a difference. All of our treatments are kind of clustered together. The low residue removal treatment is starting to kind of pull away from the pack in terms, and then we also see this kind of spike as the medium residue removal treatment further down as starts to kind of increase in its water content there. But as we move into the corn phase, we start to see things start to break up a little bit more. That low residue removal treatment is higher than all the other treatments, so it has better water holding capacity, better water retention, and that could be explained again because it has better aggregation, and there's all these good things happening in that low residue removal treatment. So to summarize here, our residue removal had significant impact on soil organic carbon in that top 5 centimeters. That being said, the low residue removal performed much better than our other residue removal treatments. And so our low residue removal had more of a positive effect on our water stable aggregates during the soybean phase, more so than on that corn phase when we didn't really see much of a response from our residue treatments in terms of water stable aggregates. And then our soil organic carbon and aggregation improved our soil moisture retention more so in the low residue removal treatment than the other two residue removal treatments. And then one big takeaway thing is that we still need more time to adequately assess whether or not cover crops are going to play an important part in mitigating the negative effects of residue removal. With that, I'd like to thank you lovely people for coming today, and also the lab groups from both the USDA and South Dakota State who contributed time and effort towards this project.
This is an interesting study. You know, you're using cover crops to try to offset, you know, the possible negative effects of removal. So I would like to know what's the above ground biomass production and the below ground biomass production. How many tons per acre of, you know, cover crop residue you are needing?
Right. And at this point in time, I don't believe that they're looking deeply into that. And so it's still kind of in that whether or not they're going to affect the soil. And so we're still collecting data. And so I don't have a definite answer for you in terms of biomass production. And so we're.
It would be nice to know. Input, right?
Yeah.
I might have missed this, but your tillage operation when you're planting that crop, is it no-till or conventional?
It is all no-till.
All no-till.
All no-till, yes.